If you're not familiar with the macros game, I'm going to try to do my best to explain it to you, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to give the amount in grams of a specific macronutrient, which is fat, protein, or carbs, for a given food, or a serving size of a given food, okay? So if that's too confusing to understand, here's an example, okay? One medium apple contains 8 grams of what macronutrient?
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Before we jump into this episode, we have a couple announcements that we'd like to share with you all.
Timely announcements, right?
Yes.
So, thanks to you all. Thanks to everybody who nominated us. We are now in the voting finalist stage of Creative Loafing's Best of the Bay for Best Local Podcast.
Bum, bum, bum.
Woohoo! We need like cymbals and like all kinds of stuff here.
All kinds of music.
But we do need your help now more than ever because now we need you to vote.
Yeah, now the easy part's over.
Yeah, the nominations are in. Woo! Yeah. But yes, we need you to vote at cltampabay.com, which is... It looks like a lot of different items on Creative Loafing's Best of the Bay, but just go and find Best Local Podcast and then choose us from the drop-down menu and submit your vote. You don't have to go and put in votes for everybody else unless you want to, because it is always good to support local. But thank you ahead of time for everybody that goes ahead and does that.
Yes, I agree. Our other announcement is that I am offering the free fitness consultations and follow-ups for anybody that is interested in getting a little bit of fitness advice regards to could be questions about workout, questions about nutrition, or just looking for a little bit more motivation. Feel free to email me at elementaltampa@gmail.com and we'll set up an appointment and we'll talk. No big whoop.
Yeah, and it's definitely you're feeling good because he's giving the advice, not me. So.
Oh, well, you're pretty qualified. I think this podcast has made you a little bit more health conscious, I think. You think? I just said you think 3 times in a row.
Do I think?
You
I
think, huh? Think the thinking. Quirky pig.
Oh, my gosh. We need to move on.
All right, so let's move on to our training recap for the week. I've mentioned in previous weeks, I am working at Tampa Strength, and I get to lift a lot more now that I'm there. One cool thing, we just got out the gym, and I'm sure some people may have seen this at their local gym. It's called a landmine attachment.
Sounds dangerous.
It's super hard to describe, but...
I'm going to try.
The way this one is set up is that it actually, you put a plate on the ground, like a big weight, you know, like a 45-pound plate, and then you have this little metal attachment that goes into the center of the plate, and it can actually rotate. You can actually put a dumbbell, not a dumbbell, but a barbell in there to rotate. It's really good for rotational exercises.
I've seen those.
Good for like going overhead presses with one arm and then squats with it, something like that. So I know that's a terrible verbal description of what this workout equipment is. So I'll make sure to put a picture of the landmine attachment on our show notes for this week.
I almost want to draw like a little sketch of it.
Yes.
You can put my sketch of what I think it looks like from your description.
Yes. Then it'll be people, picture. Yeah, even more confused. So, but it's really good. I was, like I said, for rotational exercises and, that's something I was working on this week at Tampa Strength, in addition to our favorite piece of home exercise equipment or exercise equipment at home. I think I said that incorrectly. Anyways, but the Peloton cycle.
Yes.
Now you're working on the Peloton cycle too, but your condition?
My condition? What is... I wish you guys could see the hand gesture that went around with that because it was like a ball.
Yeah.
He was just creating a ball with his hands.
No, this is sign language for pregnant.
This is a ball, sir.
But yes, I know you've had to adjust your Peloton experiences.
Yeah, actually, for the last week or so, for the first time ever, I have hit my max heart rate on a couple of rides a lot quicker, and I had to really scale it back because you're not technically supposed to get your heart rate to over a certain point. Mm-hmm. I think it's 140. And my workout, like, just shot up all of a sudden. I looked down at my heart rate, and it was, like, in the max zone, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Mm. So I really am trying to watch it because my heart rate does creep up a lot faster. It seems like I do have to ease back a little. And I've had to adjust the bike because I can't bend forward as much. And which is, I'm sure it looks great. I'm sure I look amazing on the bike right now.
That's why it's at home. Yeah. You don't have to worry about any judgment out there.
I'm so glad because, yeah, that's a funny one. But maybe we'll have to take a picture of me on the bike at some point in the near future. Yeah. You can be like, this is what, and then you can do your hand gesture of the ball. Pregnant lady looks like on the Peloton.
So first, Nessa, we have a sketch of the landmine. And then we have me doing my sign language and you on the bike. That's what's going to be on the show notes for this week.
Some apparently. Great photos, wow, y'all. That's I think good. You should really make sure you head over to those show yeah. notes this
ElementalTampa.com. Check it out. But also, in addition to that, you've done a couple prenatal yoga classes, which yes. I'm interested to hear a little bit more about.
Yeah, and I'm so, so glad that I started going to these because obviously I'm in teacher training for yoga, so I've been doing a wide array of yoga types and practices. So I'm not really able to do the really intense types of poses that I could have done prior, like probably like the first trimester. I was pretty much able to do whatever. You know, I could keep up with most classes. Now I can't. I really can't. Like, I am working at a regular flow one level. So I decided to finally try the prenatal, and I was so glad that I did. I mean, it's one thing to be in a room of pregnant women and not feeling like you're the most pregnant person there, because there's people that are like literally 39 weeks and they're still doing this.
Still getting after it.
They're still getting after it. Huh. So it's all different stages of pregnancy. And it basically just teaches you how to move your body when you're pregnant, which may sound stupid simple, but you kind of forget. And, like, you get into this very basic, like, two-plane movement where you don't really challenge yourself and you're afraid to move the wrong way. This class just kind of gives you all of that confidence back, and it allows you to move freely, and it doesn't stick you in a pose for a long time. You know, it's very much structured to a pregnant woman. So you're not doing tons and tons of forward folds where you're trying to bend your body in half with, you know, you have like your little hand gesture, yeah. the boulder Duh. Of your belly yeah. in front of you. It just takes all of that under consideration. So you walk in and you feel kind of like, you know, kind of like heavier, and you feel a little bit not as coordinated. But by the time you leave, you just have this body control that's back.
Yeah.
And you feel like a normal person. You walk out and you're practically like light skipping on your toes because you just feel so normal.
Right.
And it's just because you're moving your body.
Now I know we've talked about it before about kind of what you hope to get out of this teacher training program for yoga, the Bella Prana, and you've kind of mentioned that you like the idea of maybe working with people that have more limitations.
Yes.
Do you think this, with the prenatal, would be a type of area you'd be interested in?
I do, and as I'm going through this as someone who is pregnant, it changes my perspective a lot, because there are a lot of people in my class that have been pregnant or that are just interested in teaching prenatal, because it's a really good energy.
Right.
Like, you get in this class and it's just a really good vibe, and everybody's kind of relaxed. And I want to say there's like another like 50-hour course that you have to take in order to do like prenatal specifically. Like, you can still teach prenatal, but like right. to get like that registration right. for prenatal, there is additional training. But I would really be interested in it because the more and more I hear about it, I'm interested in what they call the fourth trimester. Ew. Have you heard about this?
Well, I'm in a session that's like the postpartum period.
It is, right? Yeah. And they're saying like it's the most overlooked of the trimesters. You know, it's actually being referred to now as the fourth trimester. And moms, new moms especially, really need support.
Yeah.
They really need to kind of reintroduce their bodies that have changed, and they need some peace, and they need to focus on themselves. Otherwise, how can you focus on somebody else?
Right.
So that side has really kind of sparked my interest too, because I'm sure that's going to be a huge, huge learning curve and a real big opportunity that I don't think is probably being addressed by most studios and even for most people.
Well, good.
So, yeah, I like that. Definitely some good opportunities, and I've even taken some of the things I've learned in my prenatal class, and I've rolled it into teaching just kind of my practice sessions with my willing volunteers, done like kind of restorative, more gentle yoga. I've rolled some of the stuff into that and gotten really good response.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. All right, that's great. That's our training recap for this week. What the next topic we're going to get into is probably, you know, this is going to be coming out in beginning of July. So probably you guys have already experienced this, seen this all over the social media. Yes.
So controversial.
Is the issue with coconut oil. The USA Today put out an article in June, in the middle of June, and the title of the article is "Coconut Oil Isn't Healthy, Period. It's Never Been Healthy, Period." So this raised a lot of eyebrows for people and questions, and people started actually asking me what I thought about this. And it's so, I don't know if funny is the right word or just kind of coincidental, that I wrote an article or a blog post about coconut oil a few weeks before this was posted. Kind of addressing these topics.
Yeah,
kind of the pros and cons of coconut oil consumption.
Yep.
So, but this article, and I got most of my information from a Time article that was actually written in April.
Yep.
And it's really, we're going to go over kind of a little bit more broader aspects about kind of a clickbait in a second, but what the premise or what the content of this article contains is basically the AHA, the American Heart Association, they stated that coconut oil is essentially all fat and therefore they cannot recommend the use of it because they think it has no redeeming qualities.
Well, specifically saturated fat.
Right. So let's read the exact quote that what it said. It said, because coconut oil increases LDL cholesterol, a cause of CVD, which is cardiovascular disease, and has no offsetting favorable effects, we advise against the use of coconut oil. That was a quote from the American Heart Association. They put out a report, I think, earlier this month or earlier in June, basically kind of denouncing the use of coconut oil. And like you said, it's almost all saturated fat. But we've talked about on this podcast about how fats have kind of got a bad rap,
yes.
You know, especially saturated fat. So the person from the AHA who, you know, commented or, you know, contributed to this article, Frank Sachs. He was the lead author of the AHA report, and according to the article, it said he has no idea why people think coconut oil is healthy. It's almost 100% fat, past weight loss study. That was probably some sort of editorial thing. But it's obviously not a quote, but they said he said he has no idea why people think coconut oil is healthy. I think that's such a broad...
Yeah, that's almost like a really misleading comment because it's not a quote. They're paraphrasing from something. So the context, granted, they link to the expert or so-and-so's name, but they could really be using this just to build their case.
Right.
Because, I mean, everybody that has really investigated coconut oil knows that there maybe from a dietary side there are negative sides to coconut oil, but
right.
There's a lot of good things about coconut oil that you would also include in the healthy. Like,
yes.
Your skin. It's great for your skin.
Right. Yeah, and it's so interesting you say that because in the, like, as you read all on in that USA Today article, they'll mention that.
Yeah.
They'll mention about the beneficial aspects of it that are also concerned to your health, but, like, not exactly dietary.
Yeah, the fact that it's the medium-chain triglycerides instead of the long-chain triglycerides.
Right.
Is supposedly one of the reasons it's better than some other oils.
Right. And that's kind of, when I did my little research a few weeks ago, that's kind of where the debate kind of arose from, because there was conflicting reports of whether or not the majority of the coconut oil was medium-chain triglycerides or not, MCTs. Because in this article and another article posted by Time a few months earlier, they say that coconut oil only contains about 10 to 15% of medium-chain triglycerides.
Oh.
Now, it's interesting because one of the biggest fats or one of the fatty acids it contains is lauric acid. And lauric acid is one of the, it's almost like a tweener. It's like, it is a medium chain triglyceride, but acts like a long chain triglyceride because it gets processed by the liver. So it's like, I still have the questions about it. I'm just like kind of parroting the information I found.
Right.
So I'm going to try to put the word out or ask the question out on Twitter to some of my nutrition experts that I talk to see, get some clarification from them. But our opinion of this article is that especially with the title, I mean, such a clickbait title, which is so misleading.
It is. I mean, I know everybody's heard the term fake news this in the past year, but this is not fake news, but this is definitely 100% clickbait as far as the title goes,
right.
Because they say farther into the article, they say, before you trash your coconut oil, know that saturated fat is a loaded term. Like they're outright acknowledging the fact that this is possibly still not that bad. It's
right.
Not as bad for you as some of the other oils, and they're really contradicting what their title says.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes sense. I mean, everything's about the click today. It's not about how many subscribers you have to your print edition, because really, how many are there of those anymore? But this is definitely something that's going to raise eyebrows, and obviously it has, because this has been a topic I've seen everywhere. People have been approaching you about it.
Yep.
I mean, this has been crazy. And yeah, it's, of course, like, it is a fat, it is an oil, but also, hopefully you're not sitting there with a spoon and a jar of coconut oil and, you know, going straight at it like Haagen-Dazs.
Right. Yeah, so. And I mean, you guys know we're fans of coconut oil. I mean, we did a coffee taste test, where we had coconut oil in our coffee. So that's kind of like, and when I talked in that blog article I wrote about coconut oil, that's how I really discovered it, through the Bulletproof Coffee kind of craze or trend, I should say.
Yeah.
But being someone who has high LDL cholesterol, which we've also talked about, I thought it was important for me to at least scale back my use of coconut oil. We still cook with it. And like Shannon said, she uses it as moisturizer and all kinds of things.
I love it. Yeah, it's super great for skin. It's antimicrobial? Antibacterial, antifungal.
Yeah, like anti-pathogenic, essentially.
Yeah, it's just a really good treatment for your skin. And I haven't found any moisturizers that my skin, I have very sensitive skin, that works with it as well as coconut oil.
Right. And I will always recommend it over, you know, vegetable oils, especially like, you know, canola oils and vegetable blends that like turn to trans fat when they get too hot, when you use them at high temperatures. I mean, that's actually it converts to trans fat, which has been proven to cause heart disease.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they're taking it. That's why you say things in the grocery store now that say no trans fat, you know? So, I mean, this isn't going to do that. This, you know, coconut oil is not going to do that. And they even talk about it in the Time article, is that it's more healthy to use this to fry things than vegetable oil.
Yep.
So, I think the crux, I mean, kind of the really up for debate topic is how much medium chain triglycerides does coconut oil have? And we're still kind of trying to find that out.
Yeah.
So, I don't want anybody to throw their coconut oil away yet.
Yeah, don't throw it away. Just take a look at how you're using it.
Yeah,
and really kind of, I mean, I think in relation to most food subjects, moderation.
Right.
Moderation, folks. Like, we use a great combination, I think, of extra virgin olive oil, coconut oil. We had, like, sunflower seed oil in there. We have, I mean, we have a couple other oils. Sesame oil.
Yep.
We use all of these different oils kind of all during our food.
Mm-hmm.
Across our cooking,
right,
and everything. I mean, baking, I actually like using coconut, yeah, oil. But how much are you actually using?
Right.
I mean, if you are using it across the board for everything, maybe consider adding some variety back in there.
Right.
But I definitely think that it's wrong to just say there's nothing good about this and you should toss it out. So
yeah. I think the AHA still, you know, believes that, you know, fat is the enemy and that's going to cause heart disease. And I think we've found some studies that that's not necessarily true, and that, mm-hmm, maybe it's more of a combination of saturated fat and sugar, which they actually address in those articles too, about how people, you know, anyways, we're going to keep going on tangents one after the other after the other. So, but we'll definitely link to the Time article, because I think that's way more kind of comprehensive and more even keeled.
Yeah.
It addresses the topic of coconut oil a little bit better. And also I'll put a link in for my blog post about coconut oil, so you guys can take a look and make your own decision. That's the most important thing, is, you know, look for different sources and make your own decision about your diet. You know,
yeah,
don't just follow some USA Today's stupid,
Well, somewhat biased. Let's just say
you.
That. They,
yes,
did not do an excellent job in really representing a balanced case.
Yeah.
So they definitely came at it with a particular slant.
Good. That's a very polite way of putting it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So now we're on to the what I'm really excited about. Okay. I wanted to talk about coconut oil because that was kind of pertinent, and it's kind of probably on top of people's minds. But this is what we're really excited about for this article, this episode. And it is another edition of the Macros Game.
It's back. Do we have a theme song for this?
We do. It's going to be
okay.
Yeah, it's playing right now while I'm dancing in my seat. All right, guys. So if you're not familiar with the Macros Game, I'm going to try to do my best to explain it to you, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to give the amount in grams of a specific macronutrient, which is fat, protein, or carbs, for a given food, or a serving size of a given food, okay? So if that's too confusing to understand, here's an example, okay? One medium apple contains 8 grams of what macronutrient? Shannon's gonna guess. And this is an example, so I don't know if this is accurate. So you guess.
And I would say carbs.
Carbs. Da-da-da-da. She got it right, quote unquote. Okay, just for the example, right? So that's kind of how we play. What we're doing, though, since this is coming out the day before the 4th of July, our nation's birthday, we are going to do a 1776 edition of the Macros Game.
Which, please reference why 1776 is important for anybody out there that may not know.
If you don't know why 1776 and 4th of July is important, you made it stop listening to this podcast. Now, obviously, we do have listeners around the world.
Well, plus, I get the years confused.
Oh, come on, babe. So, 4th of July is the nation's Independence Day, okay, where we declared in July 4th, 1776, to be basically a sovereign nation from the British Empire, okay?
Dun-dun-dun, that's all I wanted.
And I'm a Declaration of Independence signed today, too? Was that what it is? I'm assuming? Yeah, because the Constitution's later on.
Yeah.
Okay, so Declaration of Independence signed July 4th, 1776, which means we're doing a 1776 edition of the Macros Games.
How weird does that sound?
Yeah. Now, how did we accomplish this? You actually did most of the research for this.
I did, and actually it was really interesting, too, because, I mean, you think about what was here in the United States of America, or I guess we weren't the United States of America prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
We were colonies.
Right.
And what was here? I mean, it was basically the East Coast. And they pushed in, like, a little bit. how far into the country did we go?
Well, I don't think, you know, the 13 colonies, I don't think we, I mean, it was really just along the coast. I mean, Virginia, I mean, it was probably the farthest west we went.
Yeah, because I actually, when I looked up the foods, I only got like maybe two or three groups. And it was the New England area.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the mid
Mid-Atlantic.
Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And then very little in the south.
Yeah.
Like the south was really not that much. So most of it was Mid-Atlantic and New England. And those foods that grew and were cultivated or harvested from those areas made up the bulk of the diet.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you a sense of what kinds of things are going to be in our challenge. But the cool thing is that they had sugar, they had fruit, so they had desserts.
Mostly probably because, you know, that found all that stuff down in the West Indies and it made its way up here.
Thank gosh, you know, I mean, you think about 4th of July and I was like, oh my God, it's going to be like a rock cake. That's going to be what I'm looking at.
Rock cake.
I don't even know what that is, but that was like what I was expecting.
I don't think it's anything. You just made it up. All right.
But so, we got some good ones.
Yep, we got four questions each we're going to ask each other. We're going to go back and forth to see who can win the 1776 edition of the Macros game.
Yes, and the items that we have are items that you would probably still be able to find pretty much anywhere nowadays.
Yeah, we kind of got something that's kind of the today's equivalent because we had to find the nutritional value of these things. So, all right, you want to go first you want to receive or you want to give?
You're really hiding those notes over there.
Don't look.
I'm going to peek.
Don't look. You can't.
I can see the red.
So what do you think? You want to give or receive? What? Why are you laughing? I'm going to give you the first question.
Okay.
Oh, you thought it was dirty. Oh, how dare you. We're trying to do a...
Give honor
to our 1776...
You said it.
All right, so this one, I'm going a little bit off script, but I know this was around during the 1776. Okay? Boiled mutton.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
What is mutton?
Mutton is sheep.
Oh, poor sheep.
Because a lamb is a baby sheep, and mutton is an adult sheep. Okay?
Boiled
mutton. Okay? 3.5 ounces of boiled mutton contains 21 grams of this macronutrient. I almost read the macronutrient because I wrote it down, too. Sorry. All right, so 3.5 ounces of boiled mutton contains 21 grams of this macronutrient.
I mean, it's a meat. It is not a big animal, so I would not say it's, like, super high in fat, especially since it's an adult sheep, right? So I'm guessing it's moving around. It's not going to be kept in a cage like we do to the poor animals now. So it's not going to be fat. I'm going to say protein.
Protein? Final answer?
Yes.
One for one. You're right.
Oh, okay. I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, obviously, you know, especially a lot of kind of it's going to feed on grass, especially back then. I mean, this was obviously to now equivalent, but yep, pretty much no carbs.
No farbs.
I just combined fat and carbs as farbs.
The right. New macronutrient, everybody.
21 grams of protein for boiled mutton.
Like just hearing you say that like mutton? Makes me want to gag.
The
a
word
bit.
Mutton.
Oh. All right, let's go to something that, at least for you, is more appealing. Okay. Now, we're going to get into the point range because this is an item that is very slight on the macronutrients because it's small. It's an oyster. It's it's a broiled or baked oyster.
Just one oyster?
One oyster.
Couldn't multiply it or anything to make a bigger number?
No.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's do it.
So I'm gonna go that this particular macronutrient is 0.5 grams in one oyster.
Half a gram.
Oh my gosh. So at least I didn't give you like some really random ass one, like 0.33335.
No.
But I gave you point.
Yeah. Thank you for being so kind to me.
Do you want me to give you a calorie number so that you have, like, some reference to what...
No. Well, I mean, obviously, it's just meat, you know, so it does contain a lot of water, and it's probably minerals in there. I don't know if that's anything with carbs. I'm going to say low, oh my gosh, fat.
Fat is your answer.
Yes.
You are wrong.
Oh my gosh.
It is actually carbs. It's lowest in carbs.
Yeah. Well, how much fat does it have?
0.83 grams. I couldn't do, like, the full. Wow. I mean, it's...
I gave you a gimme for the first one, and you give me decimal places for my first one. How dare you? How dare you? All right.
I'm sorry that I gave you a decimal place one for your first, but I just know how much you like oysters.
Yeah, that's very true. Maybe you should have done them by the half dozen or the dozen. All right. Anyways, your next question, your next food is going to be 1 cup of green beans contains 8 grams of this macronutrient.
Ooh. Well, I don't think they have a lot of fat in them. This is just green beans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say carbs.
Final answer?
Yes.
Correct. 2 for 2. She's 2 for 2. Don't look. All right. My next one. Give me.
All right. I'm going to give you something that you love. And I feel like this is going to be a much better one.
Okay.
Crab cakes.
Yes.
And we're going to do Maryland style. So this is, you should...
I should
be
know
aware
exactly what's in that. Okay.
Of what's in there.
Right.
So one serving, one crab cake.
Gotcha.
Has 19 grams of this macronutrient. Do, 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 do.
Could have a wide distribution. Jeez. Of everything. All three. Fat, protein, and carbs. 19 grams.
And I'm not going to lie, when I was looking at the recipe for what's in this, I got really hungry. So none of the numbers were, like, dissuading me at all.
I'm going to throw fat out because, I mean, mostly it's going to be crab meat, probably an egg, which is a little bit of fat, breadcrumbs, which is no fat. The crab meat doesn't have any fat. And maybe some sort of, I don't know if they use mayo in there.
I think Maryland style is going to have some kind of a major binder.
Like breadcrumbs or something other than breadcrumbs?
No, like a dairy binder.
Okay. That's not good for me. All right. Jeez. I'm going to go protein.
That is your final answer.
Yes.
It is fat. 19 grams of fat. There's 12 grams of carbs.
That makes sense.
Do you want to guess at how many grams of protein?
It's one crab cake.
One crab cake.
15
I will
grams.
Say it's much more. It's higher on the protein than the fat.
So I guess 22, 23?
28 grams.
Wow, that seems extremely high
for a crab cake.
That must be a big crab cake.
Yeah, I'm thinking these are like little plates size.
All right.
But 330 calories.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, you ready? Number 3. Now, this is one of my favorites, and I know it's one of your favorites, too, probably.
Okay.
2 ounces of Scrapple.
Oh, cock.
Contains 5 grams of this macronutrient.
Ooh. How much?
2 ounces.
Oh, I can't even stand the smell of Scrapple. I've never actually tasted it. This is one of the items that came off the Mid-Atlantic list.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the record, us New Englanders never seen any Scrapple.
It's essentially like a pork loaf, if you will.
It's like pork jello or meat jello. It's liquid and a solid.
It's like a pate almost, if you will.
It's not really.
Anyways,
I don't like pate either, and I'm going to defend all the pate people. All right. I'm going to say protein.
Final answer?
Yes.
3 for 3.
I was right?
Yeah, you were right. It actually contains more fat and carbs, 8 grams of each fat and carbs.
Well, I remember I watched that delightful video on the making of Scrapple. Oh, there you go. And there seemed to be not a whole lot of actual decent, you know, lean protein in there.
How dare you.
So, I was going to expect it to be really high in fat and then have some carbs.
I will not sit by and let you badmouth my beloved Scrapple. After you gave me one oyster. All right.
Oh, this is gonna be a marital test.
Gosh, I don't know if I get one answer, I'll be happy. All right, what's next?
All right, we're gonna go to an all-time. This is like a general favorite: corn chowder.
Corn chowder. Okay.
Yum yum yum.
Gotcha.
2 cups is the serving size.
Wow, 2 cups.
At.
That's a big old bowl.
This is a big honking bowl.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be your breakfast, lunch, and dinner almost.
Okay.
So, it has 6.8 grams, or I rounded it to 7 grams of this macronutrient.
I'm confident in this one. I'm 100% confident in this. How many grams again?
it's 7.
2 cups?
7 grams, 2 cups.
Protein.
That's your final answer.
That's my final answer.
You're looking really, really questioning here.
To be. Because chowder, I'm sure there's some sort of milk in there. So that means there's fat in there.
And oh, yeah.
Corn, duh, carbs. So if it's not protein, I'm shutting this podcast off.
It is protein.
Yes.
It has 40 grams of fat, 32 grams of protein. See, I
no,
gave.
Carbs.
I, carbs.
There you go.
Sorry. I gave you a good one on that one.
Should have led with
I
that one.
I could have done 32 grams of what? Because I feel like that would have been like...
It would have been tough, yeah.
40 grams of fat. Like, think about that before you order a big bowl. But definitely think about that before you order corn chowder as your side at like
Panera. Well, it's
probably
got like heavy whipping cream in it or something nowadays. So.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, yeah, but that's good. That's fat. But then when you combine it with the corn, that's when you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of carbs and fat. All right, your last one. We'll save dessert for the last one.
Aww.
You're going to go try to go 4 for 4. This is a 44 grams, which is actually one mini cake of pound cake.
Oh, I love pound cake.
Okay, one mini pound cake has 9 grams of this macronutrient.
9 grams.
To go 4 for 4.
This is no pressure.
You've already locked the win in.
Gosh. I mean, it's basically flour, sugar, and butter is pound cake. It's practically shortbread, but cake form.
Okay.
So what the hell?
Your final answer is?
It's definitely not protein. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not protein. It could be carbs or fat. Shoot. I'm going to say fat.
Final answer?
Yes.
4 for 4.
Oh! Wait, how many carbs did it have?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Oh!
More. Probably more, I'm
more.
Assuming. Because it had sugar and all that stuff in there, so...
I like knowing what else is in it, too.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Look under Entenmann's mini pound cake.
Oh,
you
looked at Entenmann's, too,
huh?
All right, well, I'm also giving you a dessert item.
Okay.
But I'm giving you the... I feel like this is representative of Independence Day.
Okay, that's good.
Cherry pie.
Cherry pie.
Oh.
Nothing more American than cherry pie. Is that the same?
No, it's apple pie.
Okay. Either way.
I know. I almost gave you apple pie, but I was like, no, because George Washington and all those people that grew cherry trees.
Oh, okay.
That was the famous...
Chopping down the cherry tree?
The famous reference for fruit.
Okay.
Was cherries.
All right. Give it to...
So, think about a pie.
A whole pie.
No. I'm just getting you to think. I'm trying to break it down for you as a visual.
Okay.
One slice is a 1/8 of that pie.
So... 8 slices of pie. Gotcha.
Yeah. Got it? So it's, you know.
I get it.
All right. So, that one piece has 16 grams of this macronutrient.
Oh, 16. That is an odd number. 1/8. I'm going to say that's pretty high. But is carbs going to be higher? Because my first thing, I'm throwing protein out. It's fruit. The only thing it is cherries and then bread or, you know, pie crust. Pie crust, I've seen you make that, is flour and butter, essentially.
Yes.
And then some sort of cherries, like, just, like, cooked down.
Yep.
So 1/8 of a whole pie.
1/8 of a whole slice. Pie. I mean, it's, like, a pretty, like,
I'm going to go carbs.
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 That's your final answer.
That's my final answer.
You sure you don't want to change your answer?
No.
It's that.
Boo. How much carbs? More?
60 grams.
60 and an eighth of a slice?
Yes.
6-0?
6-0. Think about all the sugar.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Also, because cherries are not the sweetest thing. So usually they do have to put sugar in.
Damn it.
I learned a little bit about the history of cherry pie while reading this, though. And apparently the cherries grown here in the States were really, really tart. Like, you couldn't even eat them. Think cranberries. And then they actually had to import them from Europe.
Let's BS then.
They put loads of sugar in it too. That should not
qualify. That should not qualify for the 4th of July.
That means that's how cherry pie got to be what it is. Like, they still put crap tons of sugar in it, but, like, they even had to abandon the American cherries.
Well, I got one answer correct in the 1776 edition of the Macros game.
Do you want to know how many calories are in one piece of cherry pie?
Well, if there's 60 carbs, I'm imagining, what, 300 and something?
390.
Yeah, okay.
Think about that before you reach for the extra slice of pie this 4th of July, everybody.
Yeah, maybe do something other than cherry pie.
Maybe go eat some green beans.
Yeah, jeez. Maybe just get some, like, berries. We had a nice a berry for Memorial Day. You made, like, an American red, white, and blue, just heavy whipping cream and berries.
It was
delicious.
Strawberries and blueberries.
Very, very light.
Even sweeten the heavy whipping cream. Just whipped it up.
And it's awesome. Yep. And then whipped. And then the, you know, berries have low GI or low GI fruit. So they're pretty good on as far as sugar goes. So anyways, I guess that's another edition of the Macros game.
Now he's not nearly as excited. I'm so sorry. I feel like I threw you off with the oyster just starting it off. I definitely should have ended with that.
That's all right. That's all right. You are the wiener, okay? Oh. So,
the wiener.
Thank you guys for listening each week. We hope you enjoy this week's episode, and you enjoy every episode. And we're going to mention it one more time. We want you guys to please vote for us in the Best of the Bay, Best Local Podcast in Creative Low Fiends Best of the Bay Contest. Just go to cltampabay.com.
Vote. And if you can, also share with your friends who maybe want to vote as well.
Always share the podcast. That's always going to help us reach new people. We know we need you guys to do that for us. So thank you, and we appreciate it. Also, send your emails to elementaltampa@gmail.com to schedule that free consultation and follow-up. Got anything else for them?
I got nothing. Have a happy Independence Day.
Yeah, 4th of July. Woo! America. This has been another edition of the Be Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
See ya.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
All right. I have to pee, so.
Bye. You want to pee now? Do you want to go do that now?
Yeah.
Okay. That is definitely going to be the outtake.
Oh, no.